can go with Miss Millie. You might remember Jana this morning in prayer. She's had a little congestion and also she got her antibiotic yesterday, and she's home with Addie this morning, which has also been sick, running a fever and things. So they're kind of nurturing each other as Michael and Summer go out and celebrate their anniversary. She might remember them at home today. But we want to talk to you this month about Thanksgiving. I mean, knows we can listen to the news sometimes, and we can listen to the economy sometimes, and it almost feels like we don't have something to be thankful for. You ever feel that way at times? We've had some of you that have lost your jobs and looking, and then we did get a praise that some of you found a job this week, and thank the Lord for that. But you know, God doesn't change. I mean, knows I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. And so that's what we want to focus on. And so the first message I want to bring to you this week, and our associates will be helping out some this week, and next week we'll talk about thankful for freedom. We'll honor our vets. But today we want to talk about being thankful through the power of praise. How many knows when we give praise, it's a choice? Some of us had a good week this week, and I went to a conference with our bishops and heard some good word and some things to help grow me as personally and grow our church. And so that's I'm pumped up this morning and got back last night and watched a little football, and then we went to dinner and then come back and watched some more football, and my team won, you know, and so I'm pumped up today. It feels good. It's good to be me, you know, this week. And then maybe you had a tough week. You know, some of you, maybe you're thinking, I'm just glad this week is over. You ever had one of those kind of weeks? I'm just glad this week's over. I talked to my superintendent up there, Jeff Johnson, and he said, tell everybody hi. Some of you ask about him from time to time. But he's doing well. But the H1N1 went through his entire family a couple of weeks ago. And Izzy had it, you know, their little one, and Ian, and then it went to them. And so, but they're all through that, and doing well, and so we all have times of trials and tests, but what I'd like for us to practice for 30 days, I'd like for us to practice being thankful. How many knows that you will have an opportunity to gripe about something this month? How many has already griped since you've been to church? It's too hot, it's too cold, the music's too loud, it's too long, it's too short. I got an hour sleep, but I wish I could have had two more. You know, whatever. I mean, we're kind of made that way. And then if we're not careful, we you know, and they hear somebody else gripe and we chime in. We're good chimers, aren't we? Yeah. And then you have some people where you gripe and they say, oh, that's nothing. You know, those kind of people. Your hurt and woes aren't near as big as theirs. I don't like those kind of people to you because they're not sympathetic to me, and their hurts are bigger than mine, and I get no attention. So I try to avoid those kind of people, you know. I like the people with gift of mercy, don't you? That said, that'll just dote over you when you have woes and hurts and things. But I'd like for us to take a month and just challenge me and you to say, you know what, this month we're going to be different and see how it goes in December. At the end of the month we can reevaluate, but every time we speak something that's not praise, we gripe about something, that we'll take and give one or two or three praises for the thing we were griping about. For instance, if you get up in the morning and it's cold or it's wet or something like that, you would say, man, another day of rain. But you would say, oh, thank you, Lord, for rain that sustains the crops and puts food on the table. Thank you, Lord, for rain that takes all the particles out of the air that need to be there, you know, and helps cleanse the air. And thank you, Lord, for the life-giving water that I can go to the fountain and get me a cup of water. So give like two or three praises every time you find yourself griping. Now, I know some of you, you're just going to consume your time. And here's what we might do for accountability. And we have to be real careful of this if you're married, because, you know, you can cause a lot of strife. But if you're married or you have a prayer partner or children or somebody that can keep you accountable, let them keep you accountable this month for giving praise and for complaining. Just give them permission. Say, I give you permission to just hold me accountable to just speak praise this month. And if I don't speak praise this month, you know, You name what they can do. You can correct me. You can make me come up with three things of praise if you hear me griping or complaining. You know, you set your own kind of penance, if you will, because that could really go south if it's not you. But let's get in the habit of praise this month. How many knows, if you just go with us sometimes to different countries as we travel, you would see that we have a lot to be thankful for here. One of our ministries that we support in Guatemala, you know, the Church of Masia, they're coming, Pastor Gregory and Nadia is coming and, they're gonna take a bus up here, and it's gonna be like 8 days to get here from Guatemala, taking a bus. And they spend a little, it's really their kind of getaway time from the school and the churches and the medical clinics they have, and so, but they're taking a bus. But here's why they're taking a bus. They need a little small pickup, and we've been in those small pickups. My pastors and Mark and some of you others have gone with us. And sometimes we'll have 20 people in the back of a little pickup going somewhere. I mean, they use their little pickups. We talk about seatbelt laws here. They don't even have people laws. It's just if you can hang on, you can ride. So, and I've driven it one time. We went to Guatemala and they were going to give us a day on the beach before we went and preached that night. And so I took our youth pastors and we went, and there's black sand, as black as that monitor there, and they just played in the ocean, and they had black sand in the crevices or ears and crevice of places I won't mention, and just you know, but they had such a good time. And but I remember going over there, we had a van full of people and my little truck was loaded. It'd hold four, two in the front, and then the two little side seats. I think Haley and somebody else was back there. And so when we got down to the river, there's a big, I call it a John boat. It's wide enough to hold a car, and about, it's long enough to hold two cars, and it's got old rotted, looked like oak kind of wood with crates. And so we parked the van. We all got in a pickup, and they loaded the back. I mean, just loaded that back full of people. Just hanging out everywhere, and you were in there, weren't you, Haley? And we rode across this little rickety thing, and lumber's popping and cracking, and we drove up on that boat, and another car pulled in behind us, with a little bitty motor, and they barged us down the river, and we landed on the other side, and went and spent the day with the families there on the beach in a little home with a grass hut top, and it was really a neat day. I remember they laid a whole fish out on a plate before us because we're guests and we're celebrating, and they're giving us the best they have. And it looked like maybe a perch or some kind of fish, and everything was cooked. The eyes just looking at you, you know, I put my napkin over the eyes, you know, I hate to see the little fella. No. And then I remember it was either Haley or one of the ladies young ladies we took sat beside me, and they set a big bowl of soup looked like over here beside me, and there was a little sharp thing sticking out of the bowl, and somebody said, "What is that?" I said, "I don't know," and the guy left his plate, so I reached over with a spoon or whatever I had, and I got in his food. And so I pulled it up, and it was a whole catfish head that was whiskers sticking out of the soup. And I lowered it back down in the soup. I said, "You girls want some?" "No." How many is thankful to be an American? And I'll never forget Haley said, "No other fish picking at it, you know." It was fun. It was, and you usually get a bug, you know, you get some kind of bug before you come home and diarrhea and all that stuff, and that's all the picture I'll paint there, but I'm telling you, we live in a country where we need to be thankful. And what happens to us is we get our mind on what we don't have or what the Joneses have or what the latest thing is out that we don't have, and it makes us ungrateful people, and I don't think we do it intentionally. I think we do it because a poor, pitiful me attitude is just easy for us as Americans, and it shouldn't be. So I just want to give us all a challenge to say, you know what? Praise, we're going to be thankful through the power of praise because it's a choice, and God gave me the ability to praise Him. If nothing else, I can praise Him because He is unchanging. My devotion time has been through the book of Jeremiah this last month or so, and I thought, man, you know, he just had such a rough time having to give out judgment on all the different cities and countries and his own people. And then after he got through his own people, he went to the Babylonians. He said, you know, you think you're in charge and you think you have it all, but listen to the hooves. The Persians and the Medes are coming for you. You know, they're coming. And the people that God used to judge your country, now he's going to use another country to judge you. And I thought, what a tough ministry that would be. But through all that time, God is also remembering him and keeping him alive when people would have him dead and all for most of his ministry life. But we live in a country that if we're not careful, God is going to issue some other country to come and make us humble. And I would rather just as far as we're concerned, I would rather us just begin to give him praise and glory and honor and live like Christ followers should live so we can reap the blessings and not the judgment of God. And I think one of the key things to doing that is saying we're going to be people of praise. Because how many knows you can focus on the bad or you can focus on the good? It's up to you. Now, it doesn't mean the bad won't come. It's going to come anyway. What will matter is your whole attitude, your outlook, and your expectancy from God. So let's look at it. Everybody have your Bible? This is my Bible. Y'all asleep? I heard a few. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 100. How many remember Psalms 100 from when you was a kid? That's one of the first, John 3:16 and Psalms 100. First couple of scriptures I ever learned was those two. And so we're going to talk about praise, the power of praise. And then in just a few minutes, I'm going to have Michelle Ferris come and she's going to lead us in praising God with our bodies. How many knows this? Thanksgiving is a time of family and eating. How many just be honest and say, usually I make this, I'm not going to watch it because the holidays are coming. I always gain weight during the holidays. Let me see your honest hands. Look at all the liars in the building. Just look around. Yeah. Well, this year, I thought, as I was meditating on this and thinking about it, when Eric called me or texted me one day and he said, are you still doing, have Michelle come up and give us some guidelines? And how are you doing that and tying that all in with through the power of praise? Interesting, he says. But how many knows, you only get one body in this life? And, then I watch some of our, seniors older than me that say, I wish I'd have took better care of my body. We abuse them, and so that's, it's just one form of praise, and so, but it's something that, what we want to give you on Sunday is just something that you can, that will benefit you. Something that if you practice, it will help you. And so, let's look at it. It says, make a joyful shout. Now the old King James says a noise, you know, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Now how many knows who that is? That's us. That includes us, doesn't it? All you lands, whether you live in America, we say, you know. And here's another thing: talk about blessing. You know, when we travel, sometimes we say, "They say, where are you from?" Well, we're from America, you know. And they say, "North or South?" I never forget the first time I heard that. I thought that's kind of haughty, isn't it? I'm from America, North or South? You know, there are two of them. How many knows there's two of them? There's North America, South America. So we say, well, we're from the United States of America, you know, when we travel. But we just kind of, and to give God praise that when He says, all you lands, it means everybody. It means that people that to the north of us, the south of us, the east, the west of us, we're all Christ followers together. There's no You know, I thank God for our country. I thank God that we have the privileges and the blessings we have here. But how many knows we're all in this together? All ye lands. He says, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. You ever ask somebody to do something for you and they say, oh, all right. You ever had somebody do that? Hey, could you help me do this? And say, I guess. Now I'm to the point I really don't care if I need something done around here and you got an attitude. I'll say, thank you. And then I walk off and pray for you. He's like, heal them, Lord, or whatever they got, you know. But isn't it nice when somebody says, you ask them for a favor, ask them if they might help you with something, they say, I would love to. Isn't there a difference? Isn't it, even with parenting, when your kids, you know, you say, now clean your room, and what do they say? Oh, thank you, Mother, I will. I would be happy to do that, Mother. Daddy, thank you for reminding me. Well, but wouldn't it be refreshing if they did? It would be refreshing if they did. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Act like you're happy about it, and you'll become happy about it. One of the things that I really appreciate about our bishops this week, in Friday and Saturday session, was they were happy bishops. I've never seen them. These are new, and this is the first time I've seen all three of them together. And they had so much fun together. And I told them, I said, you know, thank you for just showing the church, leading the church with joy and gladness. How many knows we ought to be glad to serve? One thing I know about Dorothy, she may not hear every word, but she is glad to serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. So if you wonder how people can skip a word or two and still sing here, that's how. How many know I'd rather have a happy singer that might miss a word than a singer says, oh, I guess I can. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't mean to ask you. We're thinking of somebody else. Just sit down. Just go ahead and sit down. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let me put something else in here. When we go to the Thanksgiving table, let's serve the Lord with gladness with our bodies. You like that, Miss Young? Serve Him with gladness. See, what we do a lot of times, we dread before we get there. Oh, look at all that food. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Singing. With singing. Listen, if you've got somebody you feel comfortable enough around you, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. Just look at your neighbor. If you feel comfortable enough, I want you to do this. Look at your neighbor and we're going to come before their presence with singing. Come on, just look at your neighbor, somebody. And if you feel comfortable, do this with me. Come on, look at a neighbor. Everybody look at a neighbor. And then say, and then the two of you, one of you is going to be the singer. And it don't matter about your voice. It's not about carrying a tune, but I want you to do this with me. Come on, just humor me a little bit. The person next to you, and if you're going to be the singer of the group, raise your hand. Come on, we need to participate. Okay, well, everybody got a singer? Okay. Because the listener is going to be the singer next. Come before His presence with singing. Now watch this. Look at your partner and say, you, light of my life. Come on, go ahead and look at your partner and say that. Come on. You bring me hope to carry on. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Isn't that cool? She's just over here beaming. You know I'm married, right? Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Now, you want to lead us in a song to sing back? What would you sing? You know a lot of songs. What could you all sing back to us? Just a little appreciation song.
Well, I just take songs. I don't give them.
Oh, you just take songs. You don't give them. Okay.
No. Brighten the corner where you are.
Okay, hang on. Brighten the corner where you are. Okay. Okay.
Can't remember the second verse.
Okay.
I can't remember where you are. I can't remember the.
All right, then let's do this. The ones that didn't sing, you're going to look at your partner and you're going to go, "You light up my life."
Can I do it too?
Yeah.
"You light up my life.
You give me hope.
You give me hope.
To carry on.
To carry on."
All right. Thank you. Now let me ask you something. Didn't that kind of feel good? It felt a little strange, I know, but you know, didn't it feel good? Yeah. You know, instead of "you get on my nerves, I hope you'll go away and you will stay." You know, I mean, that's kind of how we do it as Christians sometimes, because we love each other, you know. We don't hurt feelings, but you know, that's kind of... But didn't it feel good when somebody's saying, "You know, you light up my life"? And I thought, that's what God is talking about. Come before His presence with singing. How many does that? How many practice that before the Lord? Yeah. You sing to the Lord? Yeah. Isn't that? And He said He likes that stuff. He inhabits, the Bible said He inhabits the praises of His people. So, come before His presence with singing. In fact, I'll give you that for another homework assignment. Just every once in a while, just come up to somebody and sing them a little song like that at work, or you know, in your family, or what. Just come into their presence with singing. Try that a little bit, if you would. And He says, "Know that the Lord, He is God." When it's a good week, how many knows He's God? When it's a tough week, He's God. When I lose a loved one, and they cross from this life over into the next, He's God. That's comforting to me, to know that He's God. He's God. The Lord, He is God. There's something we could praise Him for. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. How many knows He's your Creator? He made you. He created you. Not we ourselves. We are His people. We are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. How many knows this is part of the pasture right here you're sitting on today? This is part of the pasture land that we took and they put a church on and we camp on and we enjoy this part of the pasture. Where you live, that's a part of the pasture that God has created for you. The earth is His footstool. This is His planet. This is His place. And we all, as His children, get to romp and play and just have a good time on His planet. I'm gonna enjoy a part of His backyard over in Spain for holidays in Thanksgiving with my son and his family. I've never been to that part of my father's planet, but I'm going to that part. You know why? Because my father gave me this planet, I can go. You know, some of you go visit your family and you go other places, that's still His planet, it's still His pasture. To He made us. Now, I want Michelle to come and we're going to stop there, because it says He is God and He has made us. He has made us. And if you'll come, we got your microphone right here. Do you need a stand? We got a little stand right here you can use. I appreciate her doing this. I gave her a little notice and then a little bit of notice Sunday, and so we already got one there. Okay. Okay.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I am thankful this morning that the team that my team lost to was not OU.
That's your what?
That's right.
That's your what?
He's kind of short, isn't he?
And hard of hearing, I guess.
I guess
didn't
so.
Hear you.
I guess so. My name is Michelle. I am a dietitian at the University of Oklahoma. And he's, ever since I first met him, he's been asking me to come, and I've been somewhat hesitant. But I'm glad to be here now. I typically don't address crowds like this. Usually the crowds that I address come to me willingly and often pay me. So this is a little different than what I'm used to. But I have a poem that I would like to read.
Here's a dollar.
Thank you.
Oh, you don't want it? Okay.
One of the dietitians that I replaced in one of the jobs that I had left this behind, and I don't know that she will ever know how much it changed how I practice and how I work with my patients. Okay, so this is how it happened. "And God populated the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach, green and yellow vegetable of all kinds, so man and woman would live long and healthy lives. And Satan created McDonald's. And McDonald's brought forth the 99-cent double cheeseburger. And Satan said to man, you want fries with that? And man said, supersize them. And man gained pounds. And God said, try my crispy fresh salad. And Satan brought forth ice cream. And woman gained pounds. And God said, I have sent your heart healthy vegetables and olive oil with which to cook them. And Satan brought forth chicken fried steak so big it needed its own platter.
And I should have screened this before she let her up.
I always word best like that. And man gained pounds and his bad cholesterol went through the roof. Mm-hmm. And God brought forth running shoes and man resolved to lose those pounds. And Satan brought forth cable TV with remote control so man would not toil changing between ESPN and ESPN2. And man gained pounds. And God said, you're running up the score, devil. And God brought forth the potato, a vegetable naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition. And Satan peeled off the healthful skin and sliced the starchy center into chips and deep fat fried them. And he created sour cream dip, too. And man clutched his remote control and ate the potato chips swaddled in cholesterol. And Satan saw and said, this is good. And man went into cardiac arrest. And God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. And Satan created HMOs. Yeah.
And we will have house purgings for all of us immediately after service.
But I love that. I mean, I think it really speaks to the core of what God has tried to do with us. I mean, He has given us so many wonderful things. And through free will, we choose some of the things that are not as good as us, good for us. We need to remember that we are not our own. We are His. He bought and paid for us. He owns us. And to treat our bodies so badly, I can't imagine that He would be pleased with it at all. And so I think that everybody knows what's good for you and what's not good for you. Everybody does. This is, you know, we know that we're supposed to be exercising. We know that we're supposed to be eating low fat and lots of vegetables, but we don't do it. And it's through free will. And we can come up with any excuse in the book not to do what we're supposed to do. I can sit on the couch 7 days a week. Oh, it's too cold outside. It's hot outside. My kids are going crazy. I have to be here for them, blah, 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 and not exercise and not walk and not eat some of the healthy foods that I need to. Who is that hurting? I'm only hurting myself, and I can't imagine that He's pleased. So, He wanted me to talk today, and I've kind of gotten off track a little bit. He wanted me to talk today about some of the things that we can be looking for in, as we move into the holidays, but I just want to expand that. This is an everyday thing. You cannot just say, I'm going to be good today. It is, you have to choose the foods that He has given us, the healthy foods that He has given us every day. You have to choose to be healthy every day. He has great plans for us. He wants us to be healthy. But as we choose things that are not healthy for us, we're not going to be able to fulfill His plan. So, vegetables. Who loves them? Who hates them? Brett, my husband, who is wonderful most of the time, has a coworker that he forgot it was anyway. We won't go there. He has a coworker who will not eat any vegetables at all. Meat and cheese and that's it. I just can't even imagine.
Wow.
So yes, vegetables. Half of what you eat, 50% of the volume of what you're supposed to be eating should come from vegetables that are non-fried, non-breaded. So no fried zucchini, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Half of your volume should come from there. And these are non-starchy vegetables. Broccoli, cauliflower, tomatoes, onions, celery, lettuce, spinach. 1/4 of what you eat should come from a lean protein source. This can be eggs. This can be cheese. This can be loin steak, for example. 1/4 of what you eat should come from starchy vegetables or fruit. Now, this is what science tells us, and I believe that God has led many great minds to learn these things through research. This is what science tells us to keep us healthy. Now, who eats like that? Not many hands. Which is why I have job security.
God. Thank you.
Thank you.
All you pitiful eaters.
McDonald's is my biggest customer.
Which keeps turning jobs, which keeps tithes and offerings coming to our
right.
church. Thank you.
It's a circle of life, really. If you can look at that, if you can look at your plate, divide it in half. Half of what you eat to come from the vegetables, you are going to see, if your goal is, you're going to see a weight loss. You're going to be full. I know hunger is tough. I do. I've been hungry before. I don't like it. And I'm not good at it. But if you can pump up your volume, so to speak, half of your plate to be those non-starchy vegetables, a salad, some carrots, or whatever it is that you like to eat. I don't really have a preference. And then one quarter, the other, looking at your pie plate here, one quarter to be your lean, non-fried meat, and one quarter to be your starches or fruits. This is for folks who want to lose weight, and this is for folks who want to maintain a healthy weight. I figure weight is all about aesthetics, unless it's compromising your health. You know, if your bones or your joints are aching, you've got a problem. If your blood pressure's high, there's a problem. If your cholesterol's high, it's a problem. If you have diabetes, which is my specialty, it's a problem. If you don't have any health problems regarding your weight, I'm not one to judge that. But if you're having a problem, then that needs to be fixed. And I believe that God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to feel well and be able to do the things that He wants you to do. And a lot of times, if we serve the God of food, then you're not serving the right God.
So give us if we have high blood pressure, what things should we watch, you know?
High blood pressure. A year ago, I went to a doctor. I was having some medical problems. And He put me on a low-sodium diet. And I just couldn't believe it. I thought, man, this is a dietitian. I'm relatively thin. But low sodium is what fixes your blood pressure. And it's been tough. And Brett's gone through it with me. Canned foods are pretty much out. You have to do fresh and frozen vegetables. There are some canned foods that you can get without sodium. Low sodium green beans, they don't taste as good. Low sodium corn, mustard greens are also naturally sodium free, so you can get those in the can, but the rest of them probably need to be fresh or frozen for the sodium.
Yeah. So sodium if it's high blood pressure.
Sodium for the high blood pressure.
My doctor told me, because several years ago I had high blood pressure. I was about 20 pounds heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you'll lose some weight, do some exercise, and watch your caffeine and sodium.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still caffeine? Is that a part of...
Caffeine plays a big part with your blood pressure. It constricts the blood vessels. And if your blood volume is the same, of course the pressure is going to have to come up. Same thing with smoking. For the folks in here who smoke, it's a pretty bad deal, too. I could spend an hour and a half talking to you about that, probably.
Okay. And I was on a blood pressure medication for a while because I was borderline. He said, if you want to practice these things, we'll monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long, a few months,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a year, but it wasn't very long until I started exercising and watching those two things. I don't salt anything anymore,
mm-hmm.
and I still do eat like the canned veggies or whatever
mm-hmm.
they serve. I
mm-hmm.
assume they're canned at most
mm-hmm.
restaurants. But I haven't had high blood pressure, and it's controlled. Ever since then, I have mm-hmm. a little thing at home, and I have mm-hmm. good blood pressure, but I do exercise regularly,
mm-hmm.
and so that helped me. And then for joints, I hear a lot of that from our congregation on joints.
Joint problem, they can have several origins. The big one is usually excess weight. And so, I mean, your body is built to carry a certain amount of weight, and if you carry above that, it will start to break down,
okay.
and you will have pain, and it is really awful. I work with a lady. She has just suffered and suffered from that, but she's starting to lose weight and getting better. But typically that is the prescription there. Some people use a product called glucosamine chondroitin to help with joint pain. They have some good results. It will also, if you're having issues or if you have a family history of diabetes, it will raise your blood sugar, and it can cause additional problems there. I mean, it just kind of leads back to the fact, do it right the first time, and you won't have to be balancing.
Balancing, okay. And we have a microphone, I think, that's available. If you'd like to ask a question real quick, we want this to be helpful to you. And so if there's a question that you have, there's probably other two or three more people that would like to ask that question. So if you've got a question, just raise your hand, and we'll get a mic over to you. While you're thinking about your question, if you have one, So you're telling us that if you'll, like if we're on our Thanksgiving meal or any meal, but I'm looking to this because we use this a lot, you know, and it's kind of a real thing where they say, well, the holidays are coming, and, mm-hmm. and so I want to praise the Lord with my body this Thanksgiving. So I'm going to the table, I'm going to have like two servings probably of veggies.
Give me two servings of veggies. It depends on how big your plate is. That's usually the first question my patients will say. If I have the veggies, how big is my plate have to be?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they want, you know, then they want the steak that's this big.
Just like get two veggies. I'm going to put two veggies on my plate to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the protein, you said like...
lean proteins. You know, ham is very naturally lean.
Okay.
So is loin.
So is there
steak.
Protein in the turkey when we put the turkey
there
in?
There is protein in turkey, yes.
Okay. So those are two good healthy meats?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a what size portion?
Well, if you're looking at, we usually go with a 3 to 5 inch portion, but if you're looking at a plate, just that it fits within like 25 or that quarter of your plate.
Oh, the quarter, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the starchy, like so you're saying we can eat a potato,
mm-hmm.
half a potato, or?
Yeah, if it fits in that quarter of your plate, we're looking at a good balance. Potatoes, corn, beans, and peas are considered our starchy vegetables. A lot of times folks will think corn or peas are regular vegetables, but they are indeed starchy, have a lot more calories, something you have to deal with there. We try to keep that in balance.
Oh, wow. See, I thought that was good.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. Okay. And any other thing? Desserts. We're all going to eat desserts, so tell us about a dessert. Just talk to us a minute about desserts.
Everything in moderation. You know, if you eat enough broccoli, it'll kill you. So, I mean, if you eat too much pecan pie or too much pumpkin pie, it's going to be bad for you. So just everything in moderation. And then if you're looking at praising God with your body and keeping your body healthy and keeping a healthy weight so that you can be strong for the things that He wants you to do. Balance it with physical activity. Don't go overboard. Don't gain those extra pounds. Don't get behind. Be ahead of the curve. You know, go take your family for a walk after the meal. Don't just sit down and unbutton the top button on your pants and watch your football. Unless it's OSU, and then it's okay.
They lost yesterday.
I heard.
That's
but next week I hear they're going to win. So yeah, just balance it. Try not to go overboard. I mean, just keep in mind, what is God really trying to do with your life? This is an everyday thing. He bought and paid for you.
Yeah.
He owns you. He doesn't want His house dirty. And He doesn't want you having to suffer the way that you may. The thing with eating and the thing with being overweight and the thing with being unhealthy a lot of times due to food is because it is a day-to-day decision. We don't gain 50 pounds overnight. It is we might gain 50 pounds in a year. And so it is a daily thing. Oh, well, I can do this tomorrow. I can do better tomorrow. And you just have to make the healthy decisions every day, to beat the disease.
Yeah. And what I had to do is just start telling the truth. Because as soon as I'm full, I'm not doing this anymore, right? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not eating like this anymore until the next meal. And I'm going to start, right after I'm full and my flesh is satisfied, I'm going to start dieting. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, I started trying to, like you said before, I go to the table to plan it out. And right now I'm carrying about 8 or 9 pounds more than I usually do. I'm still under like 15 under or so under what I was. But at my goal weight, I want to be like 190, and I'm almost 200. And so, but I still do walk and exercise and things. And this is kind of funny. When they came and we had a little pastor's lunch for some visitors, and they came, we had Kentucky Fried Chicken and cake. And we're like, Michelle, what do you do? I'm a dietitian, nutritionist, whatever. And so I said, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. She said, no, it's okay. And I noticed, you know, she divvied out portion control.
Mm-hmm.
And they even had a dessert. I noticed
mm-hmm.
that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she had and her little kids were like birds, that dessert, you know. But it was portion control, you know, and I noticed that. So, and that for me has worked is I eat everything.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I should eat more healthy. But it works for me to eat, like Jan and I, once in a while, go out and have a rib dinner. But we don't, you know, we split everything. We don't,
mm-hmm.
where we used to, I had one, she had one, and we split everything. So I'm not sure you would endorse anything like that, but that keeps me inconsistent. And all I'm saying is, Do something that works for you that brings glory to God. Let me read this. Do we have any questions? Oh, okay. Wait till we get the microphone right here.
Yeah, Michelle. I hear that. Okay, if I eat bread, and I love bread, all different kinds of bread and stuff like this, but when I eat it and it goes into my body and stuff like this, it turns to sugar.
Mm-hmm. Corn, bread, peas, beans, pasta, cereal, rice, they are all considered a starchy carbohydrate. And those are just as effectively turned into sugar into your body as is fruit, desserts, soda, milk.
Because in my family, there's a lot of fish.
Are you talking about like red beans as well?
All beans.
All beans. Wow, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Except for green beans.
And I get this on Jerry Springer. What is the carbohydrate? There's good carbohydrates and there's bad carbohydrates.
Acts 10:12 says, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." There is not a good or a bad carbohydrate. It is how we use it.
Wow.
The foods that are higher in fiber do better in our body. Fiber is a carbohydrate that cannot be digested by the human body, and it bulks up our digestive. I mean, we bulk up our stool, it keeps us regular, it lowers our cholesterol, lowers our blood pressure. And so when you can choose foods like beans that have higher fiber, it's going to work a little bit better in your body. However, beans have a lot of starch and they're going to turn to sugar as well. I work a lot with Native American folks and, you know, that's a big part of their diet and it can really be a problem for them because it's a habit and so.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem.
It's ready.
I was thinking that maybe you were going to suggest when you mentioned the older people that a specific type of exercise.
A type of exercise for folks who are older. You know, age is a state of mind, I think. And I have folks that are 85, 95 that are walking 3 miles a day, every day, and that's so awesome. And I want to be one of them. You have to work within your abilities. And so if you're not able to walk long distances, there are some great chair exercise programs. Yoga, I've tried it. It's great. You don't have to be extremely flexible because I'm not. There are some DVDs that we give out and some of the pharmaceutical companies have given us where you can, you know, walk in your home in front of the TV and you're not outside where it may be cold or icy or unsafe. And so it's just work within your abilities. But the thing is, you know, push yourself some. Not to where you're unsafe, but to where you're continually challenging yourself.
Could you bring her maybe a sheet that says exercises or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I have those.
Yeah, we'll do that. One of my friends, he's a pastor up in the D.C. area, and I'm coaching him right now on his health because he's a diabetic. And so he went to his nutritionist, and he has trouble with his feet because of his diabetes. And he said, she says, "What are you doing to exercise?" He said, "Well, you know, I got one of my foot down here has a sore." She said, "Well, what are you doing with the other three limbs?"
Exactly.
He said, "Well, I guess what can I do with those?" Uh-huh. So I thought, you know, do something, movement,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody else?
Oh. I've got two questions. I hear that smoking food and grilling outdoors, is that bad for you? Or
there are some folks who are particularly sensitive, mm-hmm, to the burnt part of the animal after he's been cooked on the grill, the char grilling, and it's not good for them. They can't tolerate it. Again, you just go back to moderation. That, you know, if you can tolerate it, if it's healthy for you, then it's probably okay.
Okay. And what about cooking with butter instead of margarine?
Butter and margarine are both pretty bad deals.
Okay.
Butter has saturated fat. Saturated fat increases the production of LDL cholesterol in the body, and that's the type that is clogging the blood vessels. Margarine is a polyunsaturated fat that has been hydrogenated, so it is supposed to be a liquid, and it has been turned into a plastic, and that's the work of humans right there. Both of them are pretty bad deals for you. We typically, my husband and I, we use, what is it, country crock? Is that it? this spread, and it's not a margarine, it's not a butter. It is a monounsaturated fat. Monounsaturated fats actually will raise the HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol in the body, and it helps scavenge out the junk out of your body so your heart can beat better and work better. So it's not margarine, it's not butter, it's spread.
What is it called?
Country crock. It's the stuff you can get.
In the brown container?
Yeah,
that's what we use. So that's healthier?
That's pretty good, yeah.
Okay, good.
Has no trans fats.
Anyone? Oh, right over here, Miss Thelma has one.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for being here.
Yes.
I am a diabetic, type 2, and all of a sudden, I don't like meat. And I know I need the protein. So what are some of the things that I can do other than meat right now?
Okay, my first question for you then is, how sudden did this come on and how long have you had it?
I guess at least a year.
Okay. Sometimes when folks suddenly lose the taste for meat is due to anemia, that you've had a bleeding spell of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Women have it more regular than men, and you will lose your taste for meat and you don't want it. If it persists that long, and assuming you have you've had type 2 diabetes, they're testing your blood, so they probably have ruled out anemia because that comes up pretty regular because we run those a lot. Some proteins are cheese, low-fat cheeses, cottage cheese. Beans has protein, but you have to be wary that this is going to raise your blood sugar. Yogurt has protein. They also will have some carbohydrates, which will also raise your blood sugar. So it's just going to be, again, a balancing act, as it always will be.
Dr. Ross says to get a handful of peanuts or nuts every day.
Nuts do have lots of protein. The problem with those is, as my father-in-law likes to say, they're fat pills because they have a whole lot of fat in them as well. Good fat, but it's still fat, and it will raise your weight if you have enough of them.
Okay. So you disagree with that, a handful of nuts every day?
I think a handful of nuts every day would be good, but probably what she's looking at is something to incorporate into the meal.
Okay.
So where you're needing something a little substantive.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions before we close?
There is one thing I would like to address.
Okay.
I hear a lot from my patients, well, I can't eat healthy, I can't afford it, which is innately a fallacy because some of the foods that we buy are very expensive, chips, fast food. We don't get a lot of bang for our buck there. However, there is a program that you probably are aware of called Angel Food Ministries. Have you heard of this program? You can get healthy foods for a reasonable cost. And some of the local churches sponsor this program, and they deliver them once a month on a Saturday morning. And my husband and I have been doing it about a year. It is not based on financial need, but it is just a neat way that they're able to reach out into the community and serve their neighbors. They offer these pre-packaged boxes. They put it in your vehicle. What I like the most about it is that it will always makes me work outside my own comfort zone. It'll offer foods to me that maybe I'm not used to looking for in the grocery store, and it makes me learn how to, incorporate those into our diet. Healthy foods, like a pineapple. I never would think just to go buy a pineapple at the grocery store, but these are things that they offer through their program, which are pretty inexpensive and relatively easy to prepare.
Grace, what is this Grace Place? Isn't it down Anderson?
That's wonderful.
They do that. We were at, when our grandchildren played ball down there.
Mm-hmm.
So one Saturday they would have that,
mm-hmm.
and it's several meals, and so those are all healthy meals.
Well, everything is healthy depending on how you prepare it.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe you can do something on that for us one Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do that for December. How many knows we have another big thing coming up? And I know she's stressing daily, and that's where you really get it. I just thought if we could kind of get ahead of the game and lay down our excuses and be honest. Let me read you a scripture as we close here. It says, this is in 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with hers, and for the two shall become one flesh? But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And then it says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And then he says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Like Michelle said, we were bought with a price. It says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so that's what I want us to do. I'll say, you know what? We want to be a healthy light for Jesus Christ in all of our ways. And so this holiday, I want to maintain, not only maintain, but I want to get back to my goal weight. And I don't want to use the holidays for an excuse. Because it's going to be, and I'm going to eat during the holidays and have fun. But I'm not going to live to eat. I'm going to eat to live. And so I just want to give you that challenge as well. So we can come and we can feel healthy when we get up on Sunday morning and or Monday morning, go to work. And so that's my challenge to you, is to be thankful. And let's start giving God praise that we can eat healthy, because we have teachers that will teach us, and we have the Holy Spirit that will give us power to do it. And we have each other to hold us accountable and to help work on it. I do think that's great that you have a spouse that will help in that area and knows what. Is that, did you not help? Okay. But then you're the man. You're the man. No. But we do appreciate that. And let's tell Michelle we appreciate her this morning. Man. Coming on short notice. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Father, we thank you that you've given us much. You made us stewards of your planet. You made us stewards of our finances, of our health, of our attitude. We're stewards over all this, Lord. You'll help us and you'll empower us to do whatever we want to do with it if we'll just practice it. And so help us to praise you with all parts of our being. And let all parts of our being bring you glory and honor. And God, I pray for all of us who struggle with weight and not eating right. I just come to you this morning and I ask you to help us. Just like Michelle said, we don't want to be hungry. But God, you created things we don't have to be hungry anymore. It's healthy for us. It's good for us. In fact, you said when we get to heaven, we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So you're still enjoying food there. But I believe everything there will be good for us and healthy, just like you created here. So just gently and in a positive way, Holy Spirit, help us today to reach our goal weight. A weight that's God-honoring. It's not about being looking like somebody else. It's just a goal for us. Just where we are. We're your people and we struggle with all kinds of things. Today we just happen to be talking about struggling with praising you and from our head and our heart and with our body. And so today, Lord, we thank you that you said in this small little chapter, we should give you praise because you're God. We should give you praise because you created us. We should give you praise because we're living in your pasture. We're on your planet. We should give you praise because you're good. Because your mercy, you said, endures to every generation. That's us, Lord. And your truth endures to all generations. That's us. So God, we've got everything we need. We've been informed by one of your teachers this morning, and we ask you just to help us. As we go through the holidays, we can celebrate, and we can look at our plate, we can rejoice in that as we fill it half full of vegetables, and we do it in moderation, and just help us slow down and just enjoy the flavor and the company and enjoy what you've given us. And the portions which we need. Empower us to do that, Holy Spirit, so we can live healthy lives and give you glory and honor and praise with all of our being. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Christians praying, heads are bowed. If you're here this morning and you need to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you never asked Christ in, or maybe you've gone away from Christ, and you'd just like for me to pray over you this morning. Just lead you in a simple prayer. Well, no one's looking around and we're not here to embarrass you. We're just here to help you find your way back and find Christ as Lord and Savior. Is there one this morning you'd like to pray? You say, that sounds like me, Pastor. I'd like to pray and find Christ. Give Him lordship of my life. Anyone this morning before we dismiss? Everyone's good? Then may the Lord Jesus shine upon you this week and make you salt and light in your community, in your family, and wherever you travel. In Jesus' name, amen.